Its current state on WKAR more than a year after beginning the legislative process, the Michigan Senate yesterday passed a pair of comprehensive energy bills. The measures impact policies at the heart of the state's energy landscape: electric choice, the replacement of soon to be retired coal power plants, and renewables. Democrats and Republicans combined to pass the bills, one by a 26-10 margin, the other 26-11. Democratic State Senator Curtis Hertel of Meridian Township, who voted yes on both bills, joins me to explain a few of these key features of the bills and why he supported them. Welcome back.
Thank you, Mark.
Michigan's electric choice market is impacted by this legislation. Before we talk about how the dust settled on that and what's in this, let's just get some basics of that down because it can be hard to understand. Basically, Michigan's power market is partially open to some suppliers called alternative electric suppliers. Who are these alternative electric suppliers?
These are out-of-state companies that mostly sell energy through our grid to large corporations and some schools.
Okay. And right now, 10% of the state's supply of electricity is provided by these AESs, they're called. Do I have that right?
That's correct. And that shouldn't change under the current bill. We did put some more regulations on them and make sure that they're not going to leave people in the lurch and that they're going to actually provide some protections to our grid. And I think that's important. But at the end of the day, there still will be 10% choice.
Who benefits from the electric choice program in Michigan?
Well, I think there are some corporations and some schools that get to pay less. And that's a good thing. The hard part about that is you got to balance that with the fact that the rest of us are paying for the grid upkeep of our system. And that if we don't actually have people investing in that and making that better, eventually the system fails. So it's really important that we made a balance of those things. I appreciate that some people have saved a lot of money with choice.
So the AESs benefit by having this market open to them, but they're not on the hook for maintaining any of the infrastructure.
There are some grid charges, but I don't think that the way it was structured actually protected our grid system very well.
Okay. I want to make clear here, we're not talking alternative energy. I originally said alternative energy suppliers. It's alternative electric suppliers. We're not talking necessarily solar, wind, whatever.
No, I mean, obviously, they have the same mix of energy sources as our local suppliers, but these are just out-of-state suppliers.
Mm-hmm. Now, some number of people and companies, some big Michigan companies here, Amway, Pfizer, are a couple, fear that what's in this bill would eliminate electric choice. Why do they fear that?
You know, in all honesty, I think that they've been brought in because the choice suppliers don't want more regulations. And so now you have these companies that have benefited from choice trying to argue that the choice suppliers shouldn't get these increased regulations. I think that's wrong. In my opinion, basically what they're doing is lobbying for their energy supplier and not their actual own best interest. Okay. And we have to be careful because we need to think about what's in the best interest of the entire state. And I think what's in the best interest of our entire state is to make sure that we have Michigan jobs creating this energy, that we're actually requiring a certain percentage of renewables in the system, and that we're protecting the grid and making sure that ratepayers, all of us, not just those that are on choice, but all of us, pay as little as possible for clean, quality energy. And that's what I think this bill leads us towards. It's not a perfect bill, but it was a good compromise, and 9 of the 10 Democratic colleagues in the Senate supported it with me.
What one thing would you have changed? If you could change one thing about what you voted for yesterday, what thing would you put at the top of your list?
I think we need more efficiencies and more renewables. It's certainly better than current law. We have a 12.5% interim renewable goal, and we get there to 15% by 2021. Would I have liked to speed that up? Yes. Would I like to see more wind and solar in the system? Absolutely. But we got an improvement over current law. And sometimes when you're in the super minority in the state Senate, that's what you have to take. And I'm glad we were able to move in that direction. For a long time, the Republicans were saying there would be no renewable goal in the new plan. So we were able to get an improvement over current law. That's a good thing. And I hope that the House will keep fighting and we'll get an even better plan.
Sounds like everybody got a little bit of what they want. You hear about how often this doesn't happen anymore. You know, it's an all or nothing thing, but it sounds like both sides got some amount of what they wanted.
A majority of Republicans and a majority of Democrats in the Senate both voted for this bill. A much wider majority of Democrats. I think that's a good thing. Having served in the supermajority, I've seen lots of occasions where we get run over, and I see lots of situations where our interests are not important. We started out at the very beginning saying what's important to us is the renewables are part of the plan, and that we fight for the environment, that we fight for Michigan workers and make sure that they're part of the system, and then we fight for ratepayers. We got all three in this package, so I'm happy it's an improvement over current law for sure.
Meridian Township State Senator Curtis Hertel Jr. joins us here on Current State today. We're talking about the pair of comprehensive energy bills passed yesterday by the Michigan Senate. Senator Hertel voted yes for both measures. So we'll try to wrap up this AES piece and move on, because there's lots of parts to this. In the end, the measures that were passed keep the market at 10%?
Absolutely.
Okay. Was that the football that was being battered around? Raise it to 15, lower it to 5, eliminate it altogether? Was that 10% what was really the issue here?
I think the regulations on those companies was the biggest issue.
Oh, okay.
For me, the choice issue was never what I was fighting for. What I was fighting for was for the environmental side and the Michigan workers.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, that was more important to me than the choice issue myself.
We'll make clear to our listeners, you do not serve on the Senate Energy and Technology Committee, but you had to get up to speed on this, obviously.
It's one of the few committees I don't serve on.
Another part of this would impact regulated Michigan utilities that have to retire aging coal power plants. There'd be a new planning process for the new plants that they would build to replace the power generated by the old coal plants. Can you tell us a little bit here about that new process?
Well, it's good, because what it basically does is require that renewables are part of that process at 12.5 and then eventually to 15. Right now, under current law, federal law, coal power plants are going away. Now, obviously, we had a presidential election, and some of that might change. I think we have less of an environmentalist in the White House in January.
And that is relevant here.
Yeah, absolutely. That's part of the hard part of all of this, is that we're trying to make Michigan policy that deals with federal policy that may be changing drastically now. So that's a big concern of mine as well. So that's why it was so important to make sure we had the renewable standards in here, because regardless of what the federal government does, the state needs to make sure that we're protecting renewable energy and make sure that we're investing in it and moving Michigan forward on that front.
And we'll let our listeners know that what you passed yesterday would take the renewable energy mandate to 12.5% by 2019 and 15% by 2021. That kind of went up and down and got moved all
around.
There's
a lot of negotiations on that.
In the process. That was dealt with. Did that change yesterday?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. One of the most discussed aspects of retiring old coal plants is ensuring an adequate electric supply after they go offline. Reliability was one of the real common words in this debate. Dependability, that kind of thing. And some legislators and stakeholders have hit that really hard. It sounds logical enough that we should be concerned about that. Well, clarify for us a little bit more, if you can. What's in these bills that addresses that?
I think that the grid has to be protected over time, right? So when you actually have Michigan people doing it, that's the most important part of the whole thing. Mm.
So how do you feel about the you feel that both bills adequately address reliability?
Yes, the issue is, I think the choice market actually hurt reliability in a sense, because they had very few regulations that were coming in. This actually makes sure that they have a reliable source long term for the choice market, and that most of our investment is happening in state with in state workers who have a huge need to have that grid be stable. An out-of-state company can leave at any time, And if the grid doesn't work, it doesn't really matter to them once they leave.
Mm-hmm.
A company that's here and supplies Michigan energy from Michigan has to have a grid all the time. So,
okay.
So requiring a larger part be Michigan-based is good for the whole system.
Hmm. Are you willing to speculate at all on how the House is likely to respond to what the Senate passed?
I'm hoping they'll take the bills up and make them better. You know, I still think that we could get a higher renewable standard. I think we can get more efficiencies required in the system, and I think that would all be good. So I think what we passed in the Senate is an improvement of our current law. I hope it'll even get better in the House.
Republican Gary Glenn of Midland went so far as to say the bills are dead on arrival in the House. He said that concerns over electric choice combined with philosophical opposition to the renewable energy mandate will turn off a lot of his conservative colleagues. He also alluded to what the federal government might do here. Are you fearful that the House... it would get hung up in the House, and we would not have an energy bill signed by the end of the year?
In all honesty, if Gary Glenn was the one that controlled what happened in the House, I'd be very fearful for this entire state. So he's on the far right of his party, and I don't think he speaks for the majority of the legislature in the House, the Senate, or anywhere else in this country.
Are you confident that the governor will sign a bill by the end of the year?
I am very confident that if the House can get the plan done, that the governor will sign it. I think that obviously there's still negotiations that have to happen. It's a complicated process. But I have high hopes that it'll get to the governor's desk by January.
State Senator Curtis Sertel is our special guest. We're unpacking what the Senate passed yesterday, a couple of comprehensive energy bills that address the basic features of Michigan's energy landscape. This is legislation that subjects you and all everybody else at the Capitol to lobbying pressure. What was the lobbying like on this?
Well, we had all different kinds of groups down at the Capitol. There were people that were concerned about the choice market. There were the major energy companies in the state. There was the labor that actually builds these plants. And there was environmental groups and also private citizens that were emailing and calling my office on a pretty constant basis. Mm. So obviously, there's always pressure. I think the most important pressure comes from your own constituents. And I think my own constituents will be actually very happy with the plan we passed.
We just got about a minute left. House leaders for both parties were chosen yesterday. The new majority leader is Republican Tom Leonard of DeWitt. What kind of gatekeeper will he be compared to Rep. Cotter?
Well, you know, I obviously am disappointed it's not a Democrat. But we haven't had a Democrat elected speaker since my father. I don't count Andy Dillon because he was actually a Republican. So it's been a long time since I've been happy about who the speaker choice was. I know Tom. We disagree vehemently on policy, but we can certainly sit down and have a beer and talk. And he has a lovely wife. So I think we'll be able to work together.
And Sam Singh is your new leader.
He's
in the
my
House.
State representative and the new leader of the state House on the Democratic side, and I'm happy for that.
And there will be two Hertels in the state legislature. Your brother joins you soon at the Capitol. Tell us briefly about that.
Well, you know, election night was pretty hard for me, but the one bright spot was my brother being elected to the state House. I'm incredibly proud of him. He ran an amazing campaign down in St. Clair Shores. And it's really, you know, to have two brothers serving in the legislature from 90 miles apart from each other, I don't think it's happened in Michigan history.
That.
So I'm really, you know, very proud of him, and he's going to be a great public servant.
I'm sure your dad would be very proud.
I'm sure, too. He's smiling down from heaven, for sure.
Sure he is. What's the district? What's his district number?
It's the 18th district, which is St. Clair Shores in East Point.
Very good. We want to thank State Senator Curtis Hertel of Meridian Township. He's voted yes on two comprehensive energy bills passed yesterday by the Michigan Senate. On they go to the House and possibly on to the governor to be signed into law before the end of 2016. We will keep an eye on it. Curtis, thank you.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it.